Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. And while you're turning, it's been good for me to be here today. If I was free next Sunday, and you're having Pastor's Day, I'd be here. And Mrs. Home has a special place in my heart. But you can pray for me, because when I leave here, I'll be preaching again at 6 o'clock tonight. And Ricky made sure I'd have enough strength. He bought enough food for me that I could eat on the way to the next meeting. And he didn't know I was going to another place. So, but I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes tonight on this thought. As we look across America, what kind of faces do we see? We're living in a time in America when we got a group of people who have done and are still trying to do their best to divide us. I'm not trying to be a politician. I'm just stating a fact. And we got, by the way, if you're just religious tonight, you still die and go to hell. We don't have religion. We have a new birth. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. I've even heard some folks think that we Baptists have one place in heaven. The Presbyterians have another place in heaven. No, we're not going to be divided up there. You said, preacher, you can't prove it. I can. Only born-again people are going to heaven. It won't matter what's behind your name as far as a denomination is concerned. It's what we have believed and been taught with the Bible. And this Bible is truth. I'm so naive that I think that the word Bible on the front is inspired. And I don't believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe the Bible from Genesis through the book of Revelation. And as I said, we got all kinds of different faces as you look out. Of course, when I preach, they all look sour. They're tired of me. But that's all right. We'll get along sooner or later. I want you to think about some of these. Look in verse number 4. We'll pick it up there and read 3 or 4 verses. And then we're going to probably be in several other places in the Bible. In verse number 4 he said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now look back up at verse number 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Father, honor your word. Help me to speak what you want me to speak. Help me to keep my mouth where it ought to shut where it ought to be shut. And we'll praise you for Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I see all kinds of faces out there this afternoon. I'm glad we don't all look alike. Amen. If you look like me, I would really feel sorry for you. I really would. And I won't tell you where, but it wasn't very far from here. Last year, I believe it was. I was in a church and in a meeting, and they called on me to preach. And I saw some people that I'd met with up yonder, back yonder in Michigan many years ago. And I knew that a couple of these ladies had lost their husband, and I could read their thoughts. That's going to be an easy capture. But I stopped that when I got on the platform. I said, when I married for good. And if you look at this different, I can get along with you. This is me. Now, I'm just telling you. But I just said, I'm married for good. And so I told them from the platform, I said, I know what some of you are thinking, but you can look another way and think another thought, because I don't ever intend to get married again. I had a good marriage. God saw fit to take her home. That's all I needed. And to help a lot of people out, I took my wife's wedding band and took it to a jeweler, and I said, I need some help. And he said, what kind of help do you want? And I said, can you put my wedding band and my wife's wedding band together? And he looked at them and he said, that won't be any trouble. And so it's there. I married for keeps. You said, but she's gone. I'm still married, as far as I'm concerned. And you may look at that different. That's you. This is me. And if you want to walk, come by my house someday. There's nobody there but me. But you may think there's somebody else there. Of course, me and her are talking all the time. You can't hear her, but you can hear me. And I'm still in love with her. And when I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, I've been going since 4, and I looked at the big picture I got hanging inside of my bed, and I said, good morning, sweetheart. We're traveling together today, so you don't have to pray for me. You said, boy, you're off your rocker somewhere. Well, that's been going on for 90 years, so that's nothing new. And so, but we're looking at different faces. We're looking at different faces across this country. Some of them are empty faces. There's nothing that shows there. I really like to go by folk, and I hope you do too. I like to go by. I went to this lady here in red. At least she's in the right color today. We can talk about blood, and she's got the right color on. I asked her a while ago, I said, you believe everything Ricky said? She said, I don't even know where I understood him or not. You're not the only one. I can pick on Ricky. He picks on me. We can see empty faces. You can see sad faces. You can see hypocritical faces. I like what the scripture says. Laughter is like a medicine. We need to learn how to laugh again. We need to learn how to enjoy life again. Yes, it may be a day. It may be a bad day, but there's something to smile about. There's something to laugh about. And we ought to do that. So let's look at the first face that we can find. Look in Jeremiah chapter number 5. And look, I believe it's verse number 3. Verse number 3, chapter 5, verse number 3. O Lord, art not thine eyes upon the truth? Hast thou stricken them, but they have not grieved? Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They refuse to return. Hard faces. Nothing's going to change me. I'm what I am. And just don't mess with me. Would be somewhat of an attitude at that something. But there's two things that can influence that face. Number one is sin. And probably the longer that a person lives in sin, the harder the countenance on their face is. But thank God that it don't have to stay that way. I find that the gospel can change the expression on that face. I know that it can change the tune that's in our heart when we hear the gospel and we're taught that we have to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God. And I've just read some Sunday school lessons that I don't even remember where I picked up the booklet said I've had them so long. Dealing with all that went on with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and some of the things that took place in that situation. But my dear friends, if anybody had a right to have a hard face, in one sense of the word, the children, after being in bondage for some 430 years under the Egyptian bondage that they were under, should have had a hard face because of the persecution that they went through. But may I say to you this afternoon, nobody has ever went through what the Lord Jesus Christ has gone through. Nobody. He was hated even from the first book in the Bible. He was hated when he was born of Mary. He's still hated today. Some years ago, many years ago now, I heard a rabbi say, if Jesus was on the earth today, he'd be treated even worse today than he was when he was on earth. And that was a Jewish rabbi making that statement. And so I say to you, the only thing that would keep a heart from getting so hard and affecting the countenance of the face would be the riches of God's grace. Thank God for mercy and grace this afternoon. Thank God for it. I've walked with the Lord a long time. I've been through a lot of valleys. Anybody can serve God up here on the mountaintop. But God is smart enough to know you and I need a little help. So every once in a while, He sends us to Bible school and He sends us down through the valley. You can say amen or oh me. Sooner or later, you're going to go through a valley. And you'll learn some things when you go through the valley that you probably didn't even think much about or never thought about when you go down through that valley. But it's a good education. I've never went through the valley, but I didn't know a little something better when I come out on the other side. And I'll tell you something else. If you're saved and God's ever took you down 50 yards below the barn and about 25 corn rows over and gave you a whipping, you don't forget that either. You said, He's never done that to me. Well, man, you might ought to have a talk at church. And because I expect all of us has had a spanking or two from the Lord Jesus. And so we need to listen to what He's got to say for us. Put a smile on your face. Let folk know that you're alive. And I know all folk are not going to do it, but I want folk to speak well of me. I want them to be able to see something that's worth knowing about, and maybe even ask me a question or two about the scriptures and things of that nature. The next place I want you to see, you'll find in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 2. And now you've got your Bible, you've used it a long time. Mine is fairly new, so you'll have to give me time to get there. New Bibles, the pages stick together. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and Luke verse 2 and 3. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing also but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And he said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. The other day I had to come to see a doctor in Macon, and I just looked at part of Macon, and Macon does not look like the place that I used to live. Been a lot of changes in 50-something years here in this county, in this town. When I lived here, it was Macon, Georgia, or Bibb County. I noticed this morning on the sign as I was getting into where the county started, it says Macon, Bibb County. Macon dash. Can I say to you, can I illustrate to you how short life is? Go out down in the cemetery, and it'll say, born at such and such a time, died such and such a time. That little dash that you see between those two things will tell you how long life is. Not very long. My daddy died when he was 64 and a half. My mother was 92. And basically all of my mother's folk had passed on by the time they were 55 years old. I don't know that much about my daddy's parents and his people. He was from out of another state, and probably I never met but about one or two of those folks. So I don't know that much about that. But I do know this, that with a confirmed face, we ought to find a face that has compassion. Now that word compassion could have a lot of meanings to it, but the basic meaning for that word, if my brother and sister sitting here in the Lord, or anybody else as far as that goes, is having a problem or is hurting, if I'm going to have compassion, I ought to be able to enter into that hurt or sorrow, whichever it is that they're going through with, as though it is my hurt or my sorrow. You said, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. I mean, you can feel the pain that other people are having. You're not experiencing it like they would experience it, but you can experience that pain. And that way we can hold them up better when we pray for them and to know what it is. And so there is this thing called compassion. I thought at the funeral of my son-in-law on Friday, many of the people that worked in the nursing home where he'd been for the last 3 years or so, many of those nurses and other people who worked there was at that funeral service. And I thought, that's nice, that's sweet, that's kind. And I'm sure they felt part of his pain, waiting him on all that time, time, and so we need to do it. But listen, your face really reflects what you are and what you're thinking. So be careful. Have you ever looked in the mirror and admired yourself? I watched my wife a lot of times when she'd get dressed, and she would take her hand and rub it down her blouse sleeve. She'd wipe her skirt down, and she'd turn around and look in the mirror. And she'd comb her hair one way, and she wouldn't like that, so she'd take the comb and flip it another way. I would have took her any way she looked. That's what I thought of her. So there's a concern face. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Daniel, and we'll see another face that we can see daily. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 9. Look at verse number 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. To our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Sin will tell on you. Sin will talk about you. People today are mixed up, and they're wilting like flowers. I'm like somebody that I've heard long ago say, if you're going to give me flowers, give them to me while I'm alive. Because when they put out yonder on that grave site, in weather like we've had recently, by sundown they've done and started to wilt. And many of them have already wilted, period. I watch a lot of folk. I know you folk don't do things like this, and maybe I ought to not do it. I don't know. But I think it's a real education. When my wife was alive and wanted to go to the mall to shop, it took a lot of talking to get me to go with it. But I'd take my New Testament with me, and when I'd get to the mall, I'd find some bench out there in the mall somewhere or another. Only one person was seated on it. And I'd sit on that on the other end, and I'd pull out my New Testament and open it up and sit there like I was reading that New Testament. And it's not very long before that person gets up and moves and goes on somewhere else. You say, what'd you do then? I'd get up and find me another bench that had somebody on it. I wanted to see if they'd move too. I used to have some tracks that were fixed up like $50 bills and $20 bills and $100 bills. On one side, on the other side was a track. You take and pull that, bill up to where the money side is showing. Walk through the mall and just drop one down in the floor here. I'd drop another one down in the floor somewhere else and find me a bench and sit there and just watch the crowd come by. And some folk would look at it and kick it to the side. Then all of a sudden, somebody would reach down and pick it up because they thought they'd found a $20 bill or a $50 bill or a $100 bill. And then they'd sneak off around the corner so nobody couldn't see them. And they'd open that up because they thought they'd really found something. They did. They found the gospel. Now, where it done them any good or not, I don't know. But I know they felt they found the gospel. You said, you're mean. Thank you. You're welcome. Now, think about it. People today are mixed up and they're bewildered. So, what is going on? The question is, their question is there a God? Have you ever noticed sometimes as you read the Word of God, as you're reading along, and it's talking about God Himself, that is in a capital G. But if you're reading about just God's, it starts with a lowercase g. And so there is a difference. They also ask the question, is prayer real? If you're saved today, it's real. Because you had to talk to God. But I believe in modern, listen to me very closely now, in modern day preaching today, there's one word that's being left out quite often when a person is asked to pray. And that's that word called repentance. You're gonna repent and apologize to God for rejecting Him and sinning against Him and invite Him into your heart because you have yet saved. We wasn't. Somebody said, well, I was born perfect. That's reading you some extra too. Because we were all born as sinners. We're not sinners. Ladies, don't let nobody kid you now. We're not sinners because of what the serpent done with Eve. She was beguiled. We're sinners because of what Adam done. He willingly partook of the fruit of his own. Maybe I can say it in a better way. Adam realized after he took the fruit and ate it that he could not come down to where Eve was at, even though that was his wife. And she couldn't come up to him. So Adam come to her. When God knew that Adam and Eve both had sinned, they couldn't go up to where God was at. God had to come down to where they were at. And he did that. You remember what he done when he, right after they'd sinned, what he did? If I can remember correctly at my age, I believe the scripture says he went into the garden and he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? He didn't say Eve. And I know this is contrary to a lot of folk, but I learned a long time ago in marriage, a lot of men will sit around on Sunday morning and wait for their wives to get up, cook breakfast, get ready. And then she's trying to get the children ready for church. And that fellow's sitting over there in an easy chair outside, ready to get in the car and holler, honey, y'all ever going to get ready? And that's his youngins too. Why don't we need to get in there and help his wife? You said your method now, preacher. Well, there's some things you learn the hard way and you don't forget it. I had one Sunday school teacher said that he thought his wife said stand up when she said shut up, and he said 3 days later when I crawled out from under the bed, after I got where I could see, he said, then I understood what she said. Another Sunday school teacher was going to teach on Eve one morning, and when he got through teaching on the junior boys about Eve, he said, Adam said to the Lord, 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 you've outdone yourself this time. And so there's a lot of ways that we can look at this and a lot of ways that we can talk about that. But remember, prayer is real. I find also Christians are worthwhile, but the world doesn't think so. Can I give up sin? Yes, I can. But that doesn't mean that I don't sin. I probably sin every day, and you do too. But one thing about it, if we've been born again, God knows who we are, what we've done, and He's still going to cleanse us and forgive us. Can I take up the cross and live for God? Yes, I can. And I'm reminded every once in a while when I stand before the mirror, there's the cross. I think I said this morning on Monday night after my son-in-law had passed away, I preached all night. I'd fall asleep, wake up preaching, fall asleep, wake up preaching. And I wish, really, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could remember today like I used to could remember. But age has took a little toll on that. But I'm told that Dr. Harold Sackler, when it comes down to his last hours of life, that Dr. Sackler preached for 12 hours, his last 12 hours. Curtis Hudson, who used to be head of the Sword of the Lord, preached the last 24 hours he was alive. I don't know where God will do it or not. That's up to God. But if God will so allow that to take place, I'd like to live to be 100. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. But I'd like to live to be 100. And God would let me preach on my 100th birthday. Wouldn't make any difference if he let me live sometime after that. Or even if he took me home right after that service was over with. Just a joy. I got a sister-in-law that believes that you can raise the dead. She may raise hell every once in a while, but I don't think she can raise the dead. But she was at the house and was asking me if I knew this preacher, this preacher, this preacher, this preacher, this preacher. I didn't know any of them. And she said, "You really ought to get to meet this man. He can raise the dead." I stood up and I called her by name and I said, "God just used you to answer a prayer for me." She said, "How's that?" I said, "When I'm laying in that coffin, and y'all are coming by and saying, 'Oh, how much we going to be?'" I said, "It'd be wonderful if God just let me raise up a little bit and let me say one more time, I'm going to tell you how to get saved." She never said another word. She just turned around and hauled it off the house, to her house. If I'd have known it had been easy, that easy to get rid of it, I'd have tried that long time ago. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. The only way we're going to live after the flesh dies is to be in Christ. That's the only way it can happen. Of course, back in Daniel again, and we won't turn there. If you're reading chapter number 9 and verse number 8, there's a confused phrase, and we got a lot of folk that are confused today. I got a daughter-in-law. I guess she would do most anything she could for me. But the girl is as lost as she can be. I tried to get my son not to marry her. But this girl's daddy, she's got two sisters. And this girl's daddy made all three of those girls promise him that they would never let anybody talk them out of the religion that they're in. It's not a church, it's a religion that they're in. And it's a religion of fear. And she won't listen to anything you got to say. And if you start talking about Christ around her, she gets up and walks out. I'm sure it doesn't go over her head. She just won't let it go in her heart. But if you look at her face, she's about as confused as they come when you begin to talk about the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know Him, as I said this morning. I hope you know Him. And if you don't know Him, I pray that you get to know Him very soon. Then I find in Exodus chapter, and we won't turn them no more because I got to quit, time's about to run out. Then in Exodus chapter number 34, verses 29 and 30, you find shining faces. You find out that when Moses came down off the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because of the shine or the glory of God that was shining on his face. It's good to see people as you talk to them and in their voice and as you watch the countenance on their face. It's good to find these folk when their face lights up. I like good music. I like the old hymns of the church. I'm not interested in this contemporary junk we got going on today. I was in a restaurant the other day, and a fella came over and we got to talking, and he let me know the church that they were going to. They had all kinds of bands that come in and played and all this kind of stuff. And I said, that's not of God. And he called my hand right quick like. And I turned right back and I said, sir, that stuff comes out of the pits of hell. It didn't come from God. Can you get off this platform before I say anything else? The attitude of many churches today is we got to bring part of the world into the church that we might reach young people. And when you pull that crowd out, some of them can hear to reach young people, you're sending them to hell. You can like me or hate me, and I'll see you later. I come up on hillbilly music. You call it country. And everybody thinks a hillbilly came from Kentucky, but it didn't. The original hillbillies are out of Michigan. You can get your history book and find it. But in country music, they sit there and play that guitar and handling and whatever they got. But they're sitting on the bar stool drinking and grieving over their wife, so she walked out the door. She might have a reason to walk out the door. I know I've got a real solemn place right now, so I find a way to make it solid. To drink that stuff is no more than a hog going to the trough and drinking slop. Your pebble. Isn't it amazing? Fella take a half a pint bottle of liquor or a fifth bottle of liquor and turn that thing up and chuck a little bit of it down and stand there and have to drink a little Pepsi Cola, Coca Cola to stop the burn and boy, ain't that good. How dumb. No wonder they have a sad countenance on their face. It don't shine. But if you get in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, I was preaching, or you may not believe in this either, but that's all right. But I was preaching the other Sunday morning, this song leader, he got a little bit keyed up, stirred up. All of a sudden, the lady that I told you about, that her daughter had leukemia, they found out. She realized, but she just got news that that daughter was in remission of that leukemia, and she raised up her hands, and nothing outrageous. Just sitting there, tears just rolling down her face. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I got excited myself. You said, oh, you can't do that. Well, don't tell me I can't, I did. And if you were to say amen real quick, I might get excited again. Don't dare me now, please. There's something exciting about Christ. I know we can't explain it, but we know when it takes place. You watch when you sang these songs that you sang out of this hymn book. And there's some of them, when you come to certain phrases, Ed, I guarantee you somebody was up here taking pictures of you while you're singing. There's some places where your voice, you're not asked to raise it, but you already know what it means before you get to it, and your voice elevates because you've come to the place. I'm going to praise God when it gets here. You may not say it out loud, but somewhere it was in you, and it's going to come out when it comes out. I'm not talking about running up and down the aisles. I'm not talking about talking in tongues. I'm just simply saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if I say somebody's going to die and go to hell, don't say amen. Because the word amen, so it means so let it be. And we surely don't want anybody to go to hell. We need a shining face like Moses had and watch the glory of God as it manifests itself. One last thing. I want you to turn there. James chapter number 1. Sunday school referred, I think, to the book of James this morning. I know it's in here, so God will be there in a minute. I know one preacher that had a new Bible, and he went to speak in a Christian school, and he told us, the young folk that he was speaking to turn to somewhere in 2 Corinthians. And when he opened his new Bible up to turn there, 2 Corinthians wasn't even in there. They left it out when they bound it together. He was in a predicament. Look at verse number 23. For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Expression don't change, it's said. So people change their faces today. They do not really know who they really are. One of those individuals, if we look in the Bible, would have been Jezebel. She was double-minded. I think that's what James would have called her. She was double-minded. I know people who have made a profession of faith, but they lived just like they've lived all their lives in sin, still living in sin. They want everybody to think that they've been saved. Sir, can I ask you a personal question without embarrassing you? Did anything change in your life when you accepted Christ to save you? Everything. What about what I asked you that question? Did anything change when you got saved? How many of you have ever been called in Jesus' fruit? That's what some people would call you. They just got a natural face.
God did not save your flesh when He saved you. Listen to me now, and don't call me a heretic. Your flesh is still the same flesh as it was the day you got saved. And He'll do anything. The real you is in here. And it's the inward man that got saved. But there is a day coming when this will be changed, the consummation of salvation, and we'll have a new body. We won't know death. We won't know pain. We won't know sorrow. But we'll finally meet our Savior. We'll finally meet our Master. We'll finally meet our Lover. And for eons and eons and eons and eons, we'll sit at the Master's feet and learn more than we ever thought we could ever learn. We'll be praising for eternity upon eternity upon eternity, praising Him who saved us. We'll have the right face. We'll have the right countenance. We'll have the right love. Because Jesus is God. Can I ask you a question now, ma'am?
Had this handsome, good little, good little gentleman finally got up here and he popped that question to you. Do you have a belief? And you said yes. And he took that ring on your finger. Head bowed, head bowed.